The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Sean Quinn, James Millman and Richie McGrath in the studio. Three jumpers to look forward to on Sunday with Perth, Southwell and Stratford. A good card at Stratford as well, featuring the Stratford Summer Salver and the Stratford Summer Cup. So a good day of jumping to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio to look ahead to the action is William Hill Radio's Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
I'm good, mate. You?
Yeah, good, thank you. Coming off the back of the July meeting, good few days of racing, great racing at York and Ascot as well this weekend, and a bit of news that broke on Friday, that the Fugue has been retired, Andy. She was a great mare, wasn't she?
She was, yeah, on a day, given fast ground and a strongly run mile and a quarter, she was pretty much unbeatable, particularly in mares races, and against the older males as well, as she proved when she won the Prince of Wales in devastating fashion, recording a very fast time. Shame that she went out on a bit of a low note in that messy eclipse the other day when she might have not been at her best anyway, but given where she was in the race, she never had a chance to prove what she could do. But at least she's in one piece, and I imagine they'll be breeding off of her, won't they?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Yeah, I imagine she'd be quite popular as a broodmare. Nearly £2 million in prize money. She's raced all over the world as well. Britain, Ireland, America, Hong Kong, and the UAE in Dubai.
That's right, yeah. So she's been a great servant to Connections. The Web, is it the Lloyd Webber's, isn't it? I think they own her, don't they?
Yeah,
fantastic stuff.
It is. She'll be missed on the race course, but hopefully she'll turn into a pretty good broodmare, and we'll see some Fugue offspring in the future. Just reflecting on the July meeting as well, just looking back to Friday's action, because obviously this recorded before Saturday's. Integral's turned into a good mare, isn't she?
She is, yeah. Talking about mares, with the Fugue being the theme, I think we've got another really high-class prospect. She's made the grade up from winning Group 3 at Newmarket last year. Group 2 at Royal Ascot, of course, the Duke of Cambridge, when she beat Sky Lantern and pretty much everything that most trainer could throw at her. And she beat the best mares around yesterday. Rosina, Purulong, Sky Lantern again, Kiyoshi. And she also proved now she can handle soft ground as well, which all goes well for her future prospects. I'd imagine something like the QE2 would be very much on the horizon towards the back end of the season. And if it comes up soft there, there isn't too many anxious moments from the start camp now.
Yeah. Good thing about her is as well, she's such a simple filly to mare to ride, isn't she? She just keeps it simple. Yeah. You just stay with the pace and then she cookings up nicely.
Absolutely, yeah. She's a dream to ride, isn't she? Must be great for Ryan Moore to go out on her and know that he doesn't matter where he puts her in the race, she's going to answer his every call. And she quickens pretty instantaneously. And she also, settles quite well. So, yeah. She's just got everything, really.
Yeah. So Michael Stout, you mentioned him there. He's having a good time of things at the moment, isn't he? And he had another interesting runner on Friday in the Chairman's Charity Cup at York. King's Fate was unbelievably keen on the way to the start, keen through the early part of the race. And you thought he'd leave his race, halfway round, but he then carried on and quickened up quite nicely in the
end. He did.
Good performance. Do you upgrade it because of that?
Absolutely, yeah. I was in, obviously, on Friday, and I said straight away that was the performance of the day. I don't think we'll see a better one, and I'll stick by that, really. It might have been just a handicap, but I think we were seeing a group horse in a handicap. What the handicapper will now do is obviously anyone's guess. If he just strictly interprets it on a half-a-length victory over 94-rated Mighty R, and he gives him, let's say, £7 or under, I think Michael Stout will be rubbing his hands and be thinking, well, I've got another handicap in this. Long term, you'd see him as a group horse, but there might be other plans on the horizon. I mean, if you could hold on to him, you'd think something like the Cambridgeshire would be absolutely ideal. It's a long way away. The Cambridgeshire, we're talking sort of mid to late September, and you'd think a horse like that would want to be given another run because he's only had three runs in his life. But he was good at Sandown. He beat the right horses that day. And like I say, everything that could have gone wrong did go wrong at York, and he still won and beat a good field.
Yeah.
So he's got to be a very, very good horse. And I think because of the way he ran the other day, I think he's going to be a much better horse when they do go strong gallop. So that keenness is kind of like prevented.
Yeah, if he does only go up, say, £7, then it's going to give Sir Michael Stout a bit of a headache, isn't it? Because if he then aims him at the Cambridgeshire, like I say, it's a bit of a time away.
Mm.
So to run him again, he might blow the handicap mark if he was to go and run in another handicap and bolt up.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. So
the thing is with Sir Michael, he's not really a Cambridgeshire man. He's not really a trainer that would say, right, I'm going to lay this one out for the Cambridgeshire. I don't think he's got a great record in that race. So he's probably wise to strike while the iron's hot and keep him on the boil. Maybe Goodwood. Or he just bypasses it and says, well, okay, doesn't matter what handicap mark is, we've got the three runs in, we've got enough experience into him now, I think he's ready for a step up in class.
Yeah.
You know, John Gosden does that. He doesn't mind running horses rated in the 80s or 90s in listed races if he thinks they're just basically marking time in handicaps. Because sometimes you can run in those handicaps and you still might run brilliant and finish second or third because you're running against other well-handicapped horses.
Yeah.
So it's sometimes a wiser option to just go straight into Pattern Company.
Mm-hmm.
Is he entered up anywhere?
He's got a great voltage entry, but that's all I can find at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've seen Cambridge. I mean, obviously it was a mile and a half yesterday. Maybe he could be a ledger type. I don't know.
Mm.
I really, the sky's the limit with him, really.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll find out where he goes in future. Anything
else? I was thinking that race is a mile and a quarter at the York course. It's a mile and a half, isn't it? That slightly throwed me a bit.
Yeah, a mile and a half.
I was thinking plans over a mile and a quarter in and around that distance, but of course it was a mile and a half.
Hmm. But a strongly run mile and a quarter where he settles better.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Yeah, I think he's got the pace to burn. So almost trying to hold on to him over a mile and a half is causing him to pull hard.
Mm.
That's why I'm thinking shorter distances.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else stand out to you over the weekend so far?
The horse of Richard Hannon's on Thursday in Ivorwood.
Yeah, very impressive.
Not only visually, but on the clock as well.
Yeah.
I was in the studio on Friday and said that you've got to follow this form because he's run the fastest time I've got so far this season, 2-year-old wise.
Okay. Early contender for the Guineas already.
Definitely,
isn't
he? Yeah.
Most impressive 2-year-old so far.
Yeah, in England, yeah. There's been a few in Ireland. And the form has been boosted of one from Navan on Friday night. A horse called Bobby Grace won.
Hmm.
And Bobby Grace was fifth behind a horse called Words in a very hot race at the Curragh on Guineas weekend. I think it was a Friday of Guineas. The Derby weekend. Aidan O'Brien's charge won first time out. Filly by Galileo. She did a very good time. And her, along with Queen Nefertiti, who's also owned by the Tabor Bunch.
Yeah.
She's another one who's posted some good times. So the 2-year-olds now that are beginning to wheedle themselves out, they're really good ones.
Yeah, and we went 6-1 for the 16-1, sorry, for the 2,000 guineas after the race for Ivorwood. Now 14, so
that's still a good price.
Yeah, caught a few people's
eyes. He's definitely the best. I think if he ran against the Wow Signal, I think he'd give him a race.
Yeah, the Wow Signal's in the betting as well. 16-1 at the moment for that.
That form of that race has been represented well. Jungle Cat, you know, he's third to the Wow Signal, so that two lines of form suggest that they're pretty much they're equal, and the market prices for the Guineas are about right, aren't they?
At the moment,
both the same, 16-1, 14-1.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on. Let's move on to Sunday's racing. Three jumps meetings to look forward to. We have Perth, Southwell, and Stratford. And Andy's picked out three races for us. One of them at Perth, and a couple at Stratford. So we'll get his thoughts in just a moment.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, Sunday's racing, we're going to start at Perth, and the first race that we're going to look at is the 3:35. We start with a Class 4 Novices Hurdle over 2.5 miles, and six of them in the lineup here, Andy. Which ones have caught your eye?
Well, it's all about numbers, obviously, with me, isn't it? And keeping abreast with the summer jumping isn't easy when there's so many flat meetings to go at, but I do still manage to generate times and circuit times, and the one that was achieved by Never Never the other day at Cartmel was a very good one. I've been waiting for him to run ever since. He's been off the track for 48 days. I've sort of kept my eye on the form, and even though the runner-up El Masivo has got beaten a couple of times, he's still run respectably. He's finished second and third in his last two starts. But Never Never's final circuit that day was by quite a way the best on that card. I think he's stepping up in trip. I think that was a 2 mile, 1.5 furlong race, if my memory serves me right. And given that he was very strong in the latter stages, I'd expect him to win again. Danger looks to be handmade. That mare trained by Peter Bowen, who won 2 starts back and then finished 3rd last time out. She would probably be vying for favouritism, I'd imagine. Obviously, you haven't got any prices at this early stage, but if Never Never is value, which I think hope he might be being his handmaids in the race, then it could be one of the best bets on that card.
Okay. Never Never then sounds like a fairly strong bet on the card at Perth in the 3:35. Big day at Stratford on Saturday as well. They have the Summer Salver and the Summer Cup, and we're going to start with the Summer Cup there. It's at 3:55 and it's a Class 2 handicap chase over 2 miles and 1 furlong, and an interesting race as well. We've got Abel Deputy, who arrives here on the back of a hat-trick. Croco Bay also comes into this in winning form, as does Fair Dilemma. You've got Surf and Turf, who's in pretty good nick. You've got a twice past winner in the shape of Passato. Good race to look at, Andy. Which ones do you like here?
Yeah, I quite like Passato. It's the old course and distance angle here, isn't it? I think Jo Davis has had this race on her mind for quite a while. She gave the horse a bit of a sighter back at his beloved Stratford the other day when he was run up behind Deciding Moment in a really good finish. He looked like he was going to win that day. He went to the front off the home turn, but Ben De Haan's inmate ran him out late on. That was his first run for quite a while. And of course, the ground at Stratford tomorrow will be absolutely ideal for him. He's a real fast ground summer jumping type. And he's won this race twice before in 2010 and 2012. He's quite well treated. You know, even though he is quite a consistent horse and he's got such a good record at this track. Obviously, he's got to take on several in-form horses. Kim Bailey's done a real good job with Abel Deputy. I'm just slightly concerned that AP McCoy's not riding him. He's ridden him on his last 3 runs and he seems to have got a really good tune out of that horse. He's had problems with his win, that horse, and I think AP kind of knows how to ride him really well. So that would be a slight worry on that score. And of course, Surf and Turf, who won at Aintree 2 starts ago, was well beaten by Abel Deputy. So he's got questions to ask. But Passato is just brilliant round here. If all 8 runners go to post and he's backable each way, then look no further than him.
Okay.
And just getting back to the 3:20, I've missed one out, actually. We were going to cover it, but I decided to duck it. But I've just missed Mo Chin Tyra's in the lineup. You look at his form figures over hurdles, 4-0 FP. But if you look a little bit deeper into his form, you'll notice that he's won his last 2 starts on the flat at Nottingham. So he could be very well handicapped.
Okay.
And they've booked Dougie Costello for that for him. So keep an eye on Mo Chin Tyra in the overnight markets, because bookmakers might not spot it. They might just think, right, we'll price up Don Padeja, Devil's Day, Uriah Heep, all the logical horses with form, and they might completely miss Mo Chin Tyra.
Okay. Put the tongue tie for the first time as well.
Yeah.
So,
has he been wearing the tongue tie on the flat?
So what?
That might have been the answer to his last 2 wins, you see. And if they're back on over hurdles, he could easily leave all his previous form behind.
No, he didn't have it on the flat. So
yeah, bizarre.
It's the first time they put it on altogether.
Oh, okay. But he's in great nick anyway at the moment.
Okay, so a bonus selection there then. Mao Chin Tyra in the 3:20. Andy went for Passato to win the Stratford Summer Cup again in the 3:55. And the final race we're going to look at is the 4:55. We finish with a Class 5 handicap chase over 2.5 miles. And the only horse that comes into this with a win in any kind of recent time is Mr. Robinson, Andy. So is he the one to beat?
Yeah, he is, yeah. This horse produced a quite extraordinary speed figure for a horse of his rating. I think he was only rated 69 when he won at Stratford here on his last start. And it was in the race that he was 3rd in the year before, or maybe 2nd the year before. So he clearly liked Stratford.
Second the year before.
Yeah, it was 2nd the year before. I think that was the 18th of June the year before. So he's obviously a very much a horse that comes well at this time. He loves Stratford. And I don't see how these are going to be able to cope with him if he runs that number again. He is dropping back from 2.6 miles to 2.5 miles. And at the point where they jumped the last, is there a difference or still ahead of him? So you could argue that is there a difference on revised terms, might have a chance over a shorter distance and maybe turning the form around. Obviously, it depends how they bet. If they go really ridiculously short, Mr. Robinson, and perhaps you can get an each-way price about Narma Holland's charge, given his consistency, you might want to have a look at him and have either a saver on him or an each-way bet on him. But without the price in front of me, I'd still make Mr. Robinson a very strong choice there. That time, he ran, I think he ran the last circuit quicker than 100 plus rated horses.
Right. Okay.
So he's very, very well handicapped, and I don't know what the handicappers put him up, but 69 to what now?
76 now.
£7 higher, right? Okay. Yeah, that's not enough.
Okay. So Mr. Robinson, the one to beat in the 455. Obviously, we'll have the pro race card priced up on Sunday. If you were to get betting without Mr. Robinson, is there a difference with the player there?
Absolutely, I just think there's more than one way to skin a cat there.
Yeah.
The winner will come from one of those two, rest assured. They are a different class to the rest, and the speed figures will tell you that. So it just depends, obviously, with the betting, how you play it.
Yeah.
Sometimes I won't always do the obvious, even though I think, right, Mr. Robinson will probably win. But if he's like even money, 6-4, I think I can get perhaps 2-1 the other one without, or I can back the other one each way. I'll always try and do the best for the bank balance rather than always, you know, back the obvious one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair enough. Like I say, more than one way to skin a cat.
Well, most pro punters do that. They don't necessarily back what they think is going to win. They back what they think is the wrong price.
Yeah. Fair enough.
So let's see what the betting is. But Mr. Robinson, as I sit here now and give a selection, he's the one.
Yeah. Okay, Mr. Robinson to win then. Just have a look at the pro race card, see if you can find a way to get some profit out of Mr. Robinson, or is there a difference? But let's have a summary, Andy. You've been through four races there. Just give us a summary of your selections.
Yeah, never. Hopefully should win the 335 at Perth, given his speed figure last time at Cartmel. I'll be very keen on whatever price bookmakers put Mochin Tara in at in the 320 at Stratford. I'll be very keen on Passato. Hope all eight runners go to post there. Hopefully he might be an each-way bet to nothing. And the winner of the 455 should come from Mr. Robinson, or is there a difference given their course form last time out, with preference for Mr. Robinson.
Okay. Good stuff, Andy. Thank you very much. Enjoy it on Sunday, and we'll speak to you again tomorrow for the Irish stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Two meetings tomorrow as well.
So there you go, the thoughts of Andy Holding on Sunday's racing. You'll hear it on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. with Sean Quinn, James Millman and Richie McGrath in the studio. Perth, Southwell and Stratford are the three meetings domestically. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.